Let's look at the scriptures found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Straightforward statement, isn't it? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 21 and verse number 11. Isaiah 21, verse number 11. The burden of Duma. He calleth to me out of Seir, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The Apostle Paul says that we need to be good soldiers. He also tells us that we should not entangle ourselves with the affairs of this world. Isaiah is inspired of this particular question that was asked. Watchman, what of the night? Now, in the military, in the Navy, and in the Marine Corps, they stand watches. In other branches of the service, they stand guard. Stand a watch is that period of time that you are guarding, watching over, whatever that responsibility may be. In all the military services, they have this. You post the guard. Makes no difference if you are on a base here in the United States or you're on foreign soil. No matter if you are a platoon, you are out, then you set some guards, you set some watches out to watch over and protect those that are trying to get a little bit of rest. Military tradition goes back to the very beginning of military. Way beyond before this United States was ever established as a country, as a nation. But we remember, as I said, it seems like we have wars comes along in about every generation of time that takes our young men and young ladies, whether they're drafted or they voluntarily serve. Today, particularly, is interesting because at 5 o'clock in the morning on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918, in a railroad car in France, there was an armistice that was signed which would end World War I. In fact, it was the war to end all wars, they tell us. Of course, we know that that's not the case at all. But today, on this day, we celebrate 100 years of the signing of that armistice as of today. 100 years doesn't seem that long, does it? Maybe 30 years of peace, and then we have the entry into World War II. And then on down to the sense of time into where we're at today, still fighting a war. And perhaps in Iraq and Afghanistan, it has been probably the longest war that the United States has ever been involved with in its history. It's been said that, and I believe it's true today, it's the veteran, not the reporter, who gives us freedom of the press. You've heard that before. It's the veteran, not the poet, who has given us the freedom of the speech. It is the veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us the freedom to assemble. It's the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. The definition of a veteran when it comes to these men and women who have stood before you today, as well as others you have not met before, it's a term about a service, responsibilities. What I want to share with you just in these few moments before the closing of the service is what the Apostle Paul was trying to relate to his son in the gospel, Timothy. He's saying to Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." When I left for service, my dad gave me a handshake, and out of his left hand he bowled up. You've heard me tell the story many times over the years. It was impactful for me at that moment because he gave me his green little service Bible. It's on the table of my office this morning. My dad wasn't, I didn't think, a very religious man. He didn't go to church. He didn't take me to church. Although to give his son something that might help him, he handed me a Bible. That Bible meant a lot when I finally came to the point of trying to find it. I carried it with me over 4 years until one time I really felt I needed God. You ever felt like you've ever needed God? Everything's going good, and one day all of a sudden, man, I think I need something here. Maybe I need to turn to God. And I don't know whether it's two of them or five of them or 10 of them or three of them. I don't know. But I just know that I remember going to my Sunday school class in the Methodist church and hearing people talk about God. And I was too busy having fun as a teenager growing up. And life was just full of this wonderful things until there's those times. And Paul was saying to Timothy, "My son, the one thing that I can give to you is I want you to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." One thing that we're lacking in this United States of America today, because they are dying off and there is few that is left today. It's the generation that we would call that generation out of World War II, where a man's handshake was his bond. And if he would say something, he meant what he said. My dad was not, as I said, a church goer. He didn't have a lot of things, and this is why you cannot judge people on the basis of what you see, because only God can see in the heart. And Paul said, among the many things you've heard, among the many witnesses, he said, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And we have fallen short, I'm sad to say. They have not carried on that great generation that we know as of World War II, because it was neighbor helping neighbor. It was family helping family. It was the strength bound upon a community of people who trusted and believed in one another. And I'm so sad that we don't have that same strength today in America as we once had. And the reason is that we have not committed to faithful men who should be able to teach it to others also. We're so caught up with the affairs of this world, caught up with all the things that will try to entangle us, to distract us, to move us away from the foundational truth. Why do we have so much problems in the world? It's because they've taken the scriptures out of the schools. And the Gideons can no longer go in and pass out a Bible to every child in a school. Because it's looked down upon, you cannot carry a Bible and put it on your desk or your workspace. It's because we've allowed society of unbelievers to direct the believers, to convince us that we really don't need to have a faith in a God, but it's okay to have immoral living and immoral thoughts and living in moral ways. The problem is that we have not passed this down to our children as we've needed to pass it down to our children. Our children learn what we teach them, even though they grimace and they sometimes dislike what we tell them, or set them down and explain the finer things of life, like your word is your bond and the handshake is a commitment that you're making to someone else. Paul is saying, you've heard a lot of things about me. We've heard things about the past generations. We've failed to commit it to our children, so when they grow up, they can teach it to others as well. In verse 3, he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We have, over the centuries of time, had men and women who have held the truth and the faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Men and women that we have not met, but because of their sure foundation and their belief and their trust in God, held on to the truth. Look at Hebrews chapter number 11 and find all the heroes of faith in that particular chapter, how they never surrendered, gave in, turned around on their faith and trust in God. No wonder Jesus said, when I return back to this earth, will I find faith? Because he knew the pressure was on. In a world that you and I live on today, there's pressures against freedom, against the flag, against having a sure foundation. And I would challenge the generation that you and I are living in right now that we need to hold true to the Constitution of the United States of America, that the founding fathers had put into it the knowledge of past history, past kings, and past tyrannies, that today that same document is still true and faithful while men try to dissemble it and tear it apart. You see, Pastor, are you giving a political speech? No, I'm not running for any office. I'm running for the streets of gold that's laid up before us, a crown that's waiting if you endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Oh, let's love him together right now. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Why did Paul say, don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life? Because we're standing watch and we're standing guard. Why do you go to church? Because I'm watching and I'm standing guard. Or are you watching over the church? No, that's God's business. God will take care of the church. What are you standing guard over? What are you standing watch over? My soul. My soul. My soul. My family. My family's soul. My family. My family's life. Who's going to watch over your family if you don't watch over your family? Who's going to stand guard against the evilness of this world if you don't stand guard against every bit of tyranny of the awfulness and the sinfulness of this world that tries to infiltrate your life? It's time in this last part of this church age that we grab a hold of something, that we stop entangling ourselves with the affairs of this world and get down to business, what we need to be about and that's standing guard over our family. How do you stand guard over a family, Pastor? You pray. You call their names out. Lay your hands upon your children if they're still small enough and plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Put a protection upon their lives. Go through your house pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, keeping out everything they're trying to determine to destroy your family. I'm not here to tell you how to run your family. I just want to encourage you to stand guard, safeguarding our family, home, and our faith. We're winding up. Jesus is about to come back. The world is lining up to fight one last final battle outside of Jerusalem in the Valley of Gehenna. And I'm here to tell us all this morning that the things that we are so concerned about is going to burn up one of these days. It's going to pass away one of these days. But one thing that will never pass away is the Word of God. It will stand through the centuries of time and will be there for you when you need help the most in your life. You can call upon that one name and that one authority, the name of Jesus Christ. Stand guard over your family. Stand guard over your home. Stand guard over the faith that you have that was once delivered to the saints. What was once delivered to the saints? What we have today, thank God, has been handed down by faithful men to other faithful men and women who's preached this gospel. By the foolishness of preaching, men are saved. It sounds to be foolishness. It's not total foolishness. Sometimes in the pulpit, we act a little bit foolish. But I'm here to tell you, the gospel is true. It's the death, the burial, the resurrection. Over the years of being a pastor, what a privilege I've had to pastor faithful veterans of the cross of Jesus Christ. I've been in their bedside. I've been in the room and by their bedside to watch them pass from this world into the one world they hope to see Jesus face to face. My friend, there's nothing in this world that compare to the goal of winning the battle, of running the race. The Apostle Paul said, to run that race, to run the race, to guard your walk, to guard your life, to guard your faith, to guard your home. Because one of these days this world is going to dissolve and be over with, and there's going to be one and only sitting on the throne, and that's Jesus Christ. And He has given you a hope and a promise that you will sit with Him on that throne if you are in the bride of Christ. The church is not just simply a gathering place to have a social. It is a place that you receive the orders through the Word of God, and gives us a strength to stand strong in the face of all kinds of opposition. I was listening to some of these men today and listening to what they had gone through and had been facing and et cetera. When they started me out, this is an old timer. No, it wasn't a flintlock. Right. It was a BAR. A BAR was the Browning automatic rifle. And I was part of a FAR team. And if you didn't have a machine gun, you had the BAR. That was the center of your 3 or 4 man firefighting team. And it can shoot out quite a few rounds at a time. It was something that was solid and mature. Then they came out later on. Of course, they had the M1 that kicked like a mule. Always trying to improve on something, they came out with an R15. And the R15 was a good rifle, except it got gunked up, get dirty, clean it oftentimes. The barrel would get hot. They changed the borough. And they kept coming out. And then finally, I think the 16. Sometimes men want to try to improve upon something that has already been proven. I said that to say this. You cannot improve upon what has already been tested. In the heat of the battle of life. The Word of God, which was made flesh and dwelt among us, who was tested and tried in all points, if we've been tested and tried. Yet he endured the cross, endured the shame, endured the humiliation of hanging on the cross of Calvary. Don't try something that's already been proven and time tested. That when you do not know where to turn to your right or to your left, to go forward or backwards, get the Bible out. Get on your knees and put this in front of you and say, God, your word is tested and true. Would you guide me? Would you give me a word? Would you help me win the battle? And I've seen men and women win the battle over drugs and alcohol, over all types of moral sin. Statue of Liberty says, bring you tired and you're weary. God says, I've come together, the tired and the weary. And they can cast all of their cares upon me, for I careth for their soul. I'm so glad of the church today. I'm still living the first century in the 21st century. An army of men and women that are not willing to entangle themselves with the affairs of this world. That they forget who they're serving. You're serving a God who loved you so much that he came to this earth, rolled himself in flesh, that he might experience himself. Rejection. Humiliation. Loneliness. What a great church we have. What a great people that you are. Because you have been unwilling to entangle yourself with affairs of this world that you have not forgotten to live for Jesus Christ with all of your heart, with all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Amen. How many wants to be a witness today for Jesus Christ? Would you stand to your feet if you want to be a witness for Jesus Christ? I want you to raise your heart and your hands and to yourself promise, I will stand guard over my life and my soul. I'll stand guard over my family with the blood of Jesus Christ, and I will stand guard over my faith. Would you pray right now? Let's pray then. Father, we thank you for the church, the body of Christ. We thank you for those saints who stood through the centuries of time, who's guarded their faith, who's guarded their family, who's guarded their lives, who stayed true and strong and fought a good fight. As the Apostle Paul said, fighting a good fight of faith. Looking that one of these days to take the crown that had been won and lay it at the feet of the one who deserves it. And that is you, my Lord and Savior. I praise you, Lord, this morning for a strong church, an expanding church, a conquering church, conquering darkness, pushing back darkness, letting the light of Jesus Christ shine and see men and women turn to you in faith, Lord, being born again of water and of spirit. That's the church fighting for the souls of men and women. We give you thanks this morning for this opportunity and privilege in thy precious holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.